welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're going to discuss the Minnesota National Guard's upcoming deployment to the Horn of Africa and meet with the American Legion Riders. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General John Jensen.
The Minnesota National Guard is an organization of professionals. On this team, we have no place for sexual assault or harassment of any kind. We owe it to our fellow soldiers and airmen to create a culture and an environment where everyone feels safe and respected. Each soldier and airman plays a role in the prevention of sexual assault and harassment. It starts with each and every one of us, and it ends with me. As the leader of this organization, I want to be very clear that I will not tolerate sexual misconduct of any kind in our force. I hold each of you responsible for your actions and the actions of those you lead. You have an obligation to report anything you see that goes against our values. We have an opportunity to stop this behavior at the source, preventing it from becoming a larger issue in our force. We are committed to supporting victims, and we want you to know that you are not alone. We encourage anyone who has experienced sexual assault or harassment in this organization to come forward. There are many resources available for victims of sexual assault and harassment. We have trained advocates who can provide caring, compassionate, and confidential assistance throughout the healing process. Our people are our most valuable assets. We're only at our strongest when we all stand together. And when we stand together, there's nothing we cannot overcome.
Thank you, General Jensen. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. The Minnesota National Guard's 2nd Battalion, 135th Infantry Regiment's deployment to the Horn of Africa is coming up. And joining us now to talk about that is the battalion commander, Lieutenant Colonel Chip Rankin. Colonel Rankin, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, thank you very much. It's a great honor.
Colonel, can you tell us how many years have you served now?
Well, I'm a little over 26 years of service. I enlisted back in March 31st of 1994 at Camp Pickman, Minnesota.
And you've had a number of assignments as you've gone up through the ranks, and now you are the battalion commander of the 2nd Battalion, 135th Infantry Regiment of the Minnesota Army National Guard. And, sir, I understand that you and about 700 soldiers spent some time up at Camp Ripley recently, training and preparing for your departure and doing some things that are a little out of the ordinary because you had to deal with the COVID-19.
We did, unfortunately, this spring. Traditionally, we would be at Camp Ripley, you know, March and April, firing individual and crew serve weapons and some section and team level training activity. And with COVID, we did a lot of the training we could do from home. We only brought soldiers on a very limited basis, but then we had an opportunity the first 2 weeks of June to go up there and get some collective training where we worked together as larger teams of squads and platoons and companies in order to get ready for our deployment. So, COVID's had a little wrinkle on us, but, like any good military operation, we identify the risks and then we put mitigations in place to keep every one of these kids safe. And, I'm a father of four, so I look at one of these young soldiers and, I want to make sure they stay healthy because their moms and dads and their loved ones, their wives and husbands would expect that. And I expect that, too, to keep our guys safe and healthy. So it's been a little wrinkle, but I think we've adjusted okay.
So you had enough time at Camp Ripley so you could test your troops and make sure that everyone was healthy. And of course, during that time, it's something of a quarantine. And another extra part of preparing for the deployment, just to make sure that everyone that was going on the deployment was healthy and not suffering from the coronavirus.
Yes. Yes, sir. It started back in May. We had a drill weekend over a five-day period where we would normally bring all of our soldiers in over a three- or four-day period. It stretched over 7 days where we medically screened everyone, our soldiers, explained the risks of COVID, issued everyone a mask. And we took that right away into AT, which we started on the 1st of June, where, every soldier reported with a mask. They drove their individual vehicle up so we wouldn't put too many kids on a bus or in a military vehicle. Everyone got COVID tested immediately upon arrival at Camp Ripley. We had 875 soldiers report for duty because we also had a unit out of Iowa that joined us. It's going to be with us in Africa. We screened everybody as they came on Camp Ripley. Like I said, we COVID tested them. We had three positives. We identified immediately. most, all three of them actually, through the screening process before anybody was even allowed to come in, they knew they were a little bit at risk. So we isolated, spread across all of Camp Ripley, where we would normally be maybe in five or six buildings. We were across almost all of Camp Ripley, which they did a great job of supporting us. And, you know, we took care of those three soldiers that had COVID and kept them separated, and they got healthy. They were asymptomatic. They had really no symptoms at all. But we made sure they couldn't spread to anybody else, and we continued to stay in a quarantine for 7 days and monitor temperatures daily, enforce personal hygiene and washing hands, and we stayed in our own protective bubble, so we didn't leave that bubble to make sure we protect our soldiers the entire time.
We're speaking with Lieutenant Colonel Chip Rankin on Minnesota Military Radio. Sir, just before you left Camp Ripley, I understand that there's a local Minnesota organization that put on a little dinner for your troops.
Well, the Serving the Troops is just an amazing organization. You know, I got an opportunity, I think back in 2007, they came to Iraq and visited our soldiers. They came down to Camp Shelby and visited us, and we had an opportunity. When we planned this out before Christmas, we were looking at a deployment ceremony, and we were going to hold it at St. Cloud, and our families could come up, and we were planning an event for 3,800 people, and they didn't even bat an eye. And I'm like, yeah, I work at a school district, and trying to serve 1,400 kids with COVID was like a nightmare. And these guys just take it on and smile, and they're so happy to do it. And when COVID hit and we had to make some adjustments, they were so responsive, and I cannot thank them enough for what they did. They fed 870 soldiers a steak dinner. You know, unfortunately, our families couldn't be there because when we went to Camp Ripley, we left our homes on May 31st and said goodbye to our loved ones and to protect our formation, and they made it very special. Yeah, our families weren't there physically, but they were able to bring in live streaming, videos, send-offs, and just a great, wonderful group of people that made such a very special event for every one of my soldiers, and I can't thank them enough.
And even got some steaks out to the families. But, sir, they've served over 100,000 steak dinners to our Minnesota National Guard and their families and other units that serve with them, and they do a fine job. Now, Colonel, I understand that you're now down in Texas as a prelude to going to the Horn of Africa, and it's my understanding that the 2nd Battalion and 135th Infantry is combined with a couple other units, and you're in the final stages of training so that you can head over to the Horn of Africa.
Yes, sir. We're just short of 1,000 soldiers, so we formed Task Force Bayonet. Our task force is made up of our organic infantry battalion of about a little over 700 soldiers that would typically come together to form 2nd Battalion, 135th Infantry. And then we picked up a cavalry troop out of Iowa, Charlie troop out of the 113th Cav, which is one of our sister units in Iowa under the 34th Infantry Division that's joining us. They came to annual training with us at Camp Ripley, and then we picked up Charlie Company, 2nd Battalion, 106th Cav Squadron out of Illinois. And they brought another 160 soldiers to help form Task Force Bayonet. This mission in Africa requires just short of 1,000 soldiers. And that's how we formed Task Force Bayonet, that will place Task Force Guardian, who's currently in Africa, who is comprised of the Oregon National Guard and the New Mexico National Guard. So this is pretty common that different states come together to form one unit. And we're just lucky to have really great soldiers from both Iowa and Illinois joining us.
Very good, sir. We have to take a short break, and we come back when we speak more with Lieutenant Colonel Chip Rankin, Battalion Commander of the Minnesota National Guard 2nd Battalion, 135th Infantry. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been speaking to Lieutenant Colonel Chip Rankin, who is the Battalion Commander of the Minnesota National Guard 2nd Battalion, 135th Infantry Regiment. And they're on their way, doing some final training on their way to the Horn of Africa. He is combined with a couple other units that he told us about in the first segment to form Task Force Bayonet. And, Colonel, can you just fill us in a little bit on, you just got some final training. You're down in Texas near Fort Bliss, and then you'll be heading over to the Horn of Africa. A little about the training and a little about the mission that you're going on, sir.
Yeah, so we arrived down here in Texas around the 21st of June. We've been here for the last 3 weeks. Here tomorrow, for the next few days, we'll start doing our culminating training event where we'll come together to do missions that we'll be doing in Africa. The mission that Task Force Bayonet will be doing in the Horn of Africa is first and foremost securing U.S. installations. We have bases across the eastern Horn of Africa that support the military mission there. The Horn of Africa is comprised of 12 Eastern African countries. We'll have units in four of them. We're kind of spread out, so we're not all in one place. The vast majority of the task force will be located in Djibouti. For a lot of people that wouldn't know where that's at, if you look at Africa, it's on the far east side, right above the Horn. And the reason we're there is it's a Navy base that's been there for a long time. It was a French base prior, but Djibouti holds a major port that a lot of ships, U.S. ships, sail through that strait, carrying oil off to the United States and Europe. And so we secure a base that operations hub out of across all of Africa. That's where the majority of our unit will be. As I mentioned previously, the rest of the units will be spread across four other countries. But part of our mission set is, you know, one particular company will be working and training the Djiboutian Army. They have a unit that they've put together that we provide a lot of the core training for. Another unit will be located down in Somalia. Again, they'll be securing a military base there that military operations operate out of. Another unit will be located down in Kenya. And again, they'll be securing a piece of real estate down there that operations take place. Another unit will be securing another camp and another area that operations kick out of. So a lot of it is securing military installations, protecting U.S. interests. And then the last mission we have is supporting U.S. embassies across the continent of Africa. In case there was a need for additional forces or support or maintaining peace or partnerships with our partner nations, that's the last role we really provide. That we're responsible for. So kind of a mix of different missions. We're spread across multiple countries. It's a really great mission for an infantry unit. My soldiers are very excited to go. So it's an exciting time as we wrap up our training here. We'll all be flown into Africa over the next 3 weeks. And it's been a unit that's, we're replacing a great unit. So we've done a good job over there. And I think we're ready to step up and meet the challenge.
Sir, when you go on a deployment like this, I imagine you've got an advanced team that has been over there working with the task force you're going to replace. And once you get there and fall in on top of their mission, there's going to be a short period of transition where there's kind of a handoff from the prior task force to you. Is that how that works, sir?
Yeah, it's a little more challenging with COVID, so it's not as easy as maybe we would have experienced if this was pre-COVID. But we got a chance to visit in March on our pre-deployment site survey. We got a good chance to move around and see the requirements of the mission. We've been able to stay in close contact with the unit we are replacing, and I do have a team that's leaving in the very near future to do exactly what you just said. My group is going to go ahead and start setting everything up for the rest of the task force to arrive. And so the unit that we're replacing has been in great comms, and I think that I really do think we're in a great, you know, we're in a great situation to meet the challenges of this mission.
We're speaking with Lieutenant Colonel Chip Rankin, the battalion commander of the Minnesota National Guard 2nd Battalion, 135th Infantry Regiment, on Minnesota Military Radio. Sir, I understand this is a historical mission for the battalion and for the Minnesota National Guard. What's the difference between this deployment and others for you and your soldiers?
Well, this is the first time that I'm aware of that this larger presence from Minnesota and the 34th Infantry Division operated on the continent of Africa. So a lot of my soldiers, including myself, I mean, Bosnia, Kosovo, Jordan, Kuwait, Iraq, Afghanistan, and Croatia, our state partner, those have been common deployments for many Minnesota Army National Guardsmen. But I do believe this is the first majority, you know, large number of soldiers who will be on the continent of Africa. As you know, our tag, Major General Jensen, was a deputy commander for AFRICOM, so he has some experience, and so he was able to share some of that knowledge and experience. And so this is charting new waters for the Minnesota Army National Guard at least in this large a number and with this mission set.
And, of course, sir, while you're headed for the Horn of Africa, the 1st Armored Brigade Combat Team's headed out for Fort Irwin in California. So kind of a busy time.
Well, I've been getting texts from my, my buddies that are battalion commanders and then 1st Brigade, and I spent, the first 15 years of my career in 1st Brigade in Iraq and in Afghanistan, and I just wish them, I wish them well. They've had a lot of challenges and just a lot of great leaders over there and amazing soldiers, and I'm just proud to wear the Red Bull with them, and I've thought about them and I prayed for them to keep them safe, and I know they'll do great things.
Sir, circling back to history, your battalion recently commemorated a historic day for the organization on July 2. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, we had a great opportunity to showcase our regiment. If anybody hasn't seen it, there's a link to our battalion's Facebook page, but our PO did a phenomenal job putting a video together. On July 2nd is historic for our regiment, as we were the first unit, the first volunteer regiment to serve under President Lincoln when the Civil War broke out. It just happened to be our governor was there, committed 1,000 soldiers on that particular day. If anybody's ever been to Gettysburg and you see the monument that says Minnesota, that represents the first Minnesota volunteer regiment, which we trace our lineage back that's where 2035 came from, was from the first volunteers. And we were able to commemorate our trefoil. It just happens to be that our soldiers from Minnesota wore a pin that was a trefoil to recognize them, their organization, and that's been carried throughout history. So we hand out the trefoil. It's a significant day, and we were able to capture that while we're here on active duty. And the sergeant major and the PAO did a phenomenal job putting that together. It reminds you that you're part of a great legacy. As a battalion commander, I take it very seriously that the organization has this rich and deep respected tradition, and I never want to let that down. So it was great to see that. Anybody who hasn't seen it, I would encourage you to check it out because I think they did a really nice job.
And, sir, I believe that was the unit that saved the day at Gettysburg.
They plugged the line. Two Confederate brigades they had seized the initiative, and they were going to break the Union lines. And General Hancock rode up, and he looked around and said, "These are the only soldiers I have." He went to Colonel Colville, who was the commander at the time. And approximately 262 soldiers of that day answered the call. And the commander, General Hancock, said, "Can you seize that line and take out those colors that are advancing?" And that's what Colonel Colville said to him, to the last man, which we say as part of our regiment history today. Anytime you render a salute, it's always to the last man. And so that was a very rich day. We bought those 5 precious minutes where General Hancock was able to reorganize additional Union forces and pretty much save the Union Army that day, and which helped lead to the victory, if you can call it that, with so many Americans dying that day or those 3 days during Gettysburg.
It's a real serious lineage to live up to, sir, but I'm sure you and your soldiers are going to live up to that well. And, Colonel, kind of a last question. You're heading out with all these troops. You're going into harm's way for a year. But here in Minnesota, we've got the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and we've got the Minnesota Military Family Foundation. There's a lot of organizations back here that have got your back and are going to be watching your families. That's got to be important to you as a commander.
Absolutely. I got a chance to know and got to serve under General Shelto during his years as the Adjutant General, and then General Nash, and now General Jensen, and all the great leaders, General Trost, that have come before me, that have set up amazing foundations, and not just general officers, the senior NCOs of the state of Minnesota. And I think the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon is just, when I go around and I hear about different states and different programs, Minnesota really does it. An outstanding job about taking care of the whole family, because all of our soldiers, and my wife reminds me that I actually have it easier here than she has at home with our 4 kids, shuttling them and taking care of them. It's great to know that we have so much support for our soldiers as they go forward to make sure we take care of our families back home.
Colonel, I'd like to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to talk to us today, and we wish you a great deployment, and I look forward to talking to you from the Horn of Africa when we get a chance, and hope you and your troops have a great deployment. And how's that you end that, sir? To the last man.
To the last man.
Colonel, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks so much. Thanks for it's an honor to be part of your program, and thanks for what you do from our military families and soldiers.
Thank you, sir. That was Lieutenant Colonel Chip Rankin, the battalion commander of the Minnesota National Guard's 2nd Battalion, 135th Infantry Regiment, on his way to the Horn of Africa. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to meet with Paul Hassing from the Minnesota American Legion Riders. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Herkey.
You may find yourself asking what you can do to support Minnesota military members, veterans, and their families. One way that you can show your support is by purchasing a Support Our Troops license plate. These license plates are special because they are a gift that will continue to give year after year. Drive home your support for Minnesota military members, veterans, and their families by purchasing a Support Our Troops license plate for your car or motorcycle. The Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, together with the Minnesota Department of Military Affairs, will use your annual minimum contribution of $30 for the betterment of military families and homeless and underserved veterans around the state. To purchase these Support Our Troops license plates, visit your local DMV.
Thank you, Commissioner Herkey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is Paul Hassing, who is currently the director of the Minnesota American Legion Riders. Paul, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Paul, I understand you currently serve active duty Army Reserve.
Yes, I do.
Can you tell us a little bit about your military career?
Well, I started way back in 82, and I was regular Army for about 8 years and got out for quite a while and went back into the Army Reserve, and now I'm active duty Army Reserve.
But I understand you're currently serving as a career counselor.
Yes. Yep.
So, Paul, does that mean you're talking all of our young people in Minnesota into joining the Army Reserve and staying in it for a few decades?
Yeah. My job is mainly reenlistments. So the ones that are currently serving, I try and talk them into not getting out.
So you're the guy that's doing the sweet talking and getting all that experience to stick around in the Army Reserve so that they can help train the younger soldiers.
Yep, I'm that guy.
Now, I understand you've been deployed a few times, Iraq, Afghanistan, Kuwait. And then what were you doing in New Guinea?
We went on a mission there to, believe it or not, teach them basic water sanitation. Teaching them simple things like why you save water for the dry season and why you wash your hands. And then we had a whole medical mission go over there, providing dental care and just the things that we take for granted here as far as medical services. We went over there and provided that.
So it sounds like the Army Reserve went on a humanitarian mission over there to help those folks.
Yep. Yeah, we did.
I'll bet you enjoyed that deployment. Humanitarian and nobody shooting at you. That's a good day, isn't it, Paul?
Yep, and 2 weeks in Australia before we went there, so it was really great.
Oh, tough duty. Paul, we're here today to talk about the American Legion Riders. Can you tell me how long have they been around and what's the origin of that?
Well, the origin of that, it started in Michigan, where some guys got together and they wanted the American Legion's backing with starting a motorcycle association, I guess. It's just some guys that loved riding motorcycles and wanted to use those as a way to benefit the American Legion and its programs. And so, it just kind of took off from there.
So is there a side story here? Is there a crossover to the Minnesota Patriot Guard? There's some history, joint history there somewhere?
Yeah, there is. The Patriot Guard, back in the early days of the American Legion Riders, more and more people wanted to do something with the organization, but you had to be a member of either the American Legion Auxiliary, or the Sons of the American Legion. And more people wanted to help out with the funerals down in Kansas that the Westboro Baptist Church was protesting. But unfortunately, you had to be a member of the American Legion family, and they couldn't. So they started their own, called it the Patriot Guard. And that kind of took off from there.
So you've got some Minnesota American Legion riders who also serve as riders for the Minnesota Patriot Guard over all those years, I would guess.
Yes. Yes, we do. We have a lot of American Legion riders are also in the Patriot Guard.
So what's the mission of the American Legion riders, Paul?
Well, we like to say, have fun, raise money, give it away. That's basically our informal motto.
We're speaking with Paul Hassing from the Minnesota American Legion Riders on Minnesota Military Radio. Well, it sounds like a good mission. Have some fun, raise some money, and give it away.
Yeah, it's a great mission. Seen
quite often in the Legionnaire that there's an article in there about the Minnesota American Legion Riders, and more often than not, you've had some event, you've raised some money, and you're contributing to some cause. What type of causes do you support?
Just about anything you can think of. Different chapters around the state have their various fundraisers. A lot of them have their pet projects. It could be a local fundraiser. It could be a statewide, or it could be a national one. Our main one is for the National American Legion Legacy Scholarship Fund that provides scholarships to any child that has lost a parent on active duty since 9/11. And now they've just increased that to any parent that was over 50% disabled.
So you're helping provide some educational funds for the children who've lost a loved one to the service.
Correct. Yep.
Yeah.
Last year we just went over we raised, so far in the 10 years we've been doing it, we've raised $1.1 million for that cause.
Now, is that across the country, that number, or is that just right here in Minnesota?
No, that's right here in Minnesota. Across the country, it's, I think, at around $14 million.
Good work.
Minnesota has led the way for that scholarship. Almost every year.
Here in Minnesota, we have a habit of starting things first and leading the way. So I'm glad to hear that the Minnesota American Legion Riders have raised more than $1 million for that cause. Congratulations. Good work. Can you tell me,
Paul,
who's eligible to join the American Legion Riders?
Anyone that is, like I said, eligible to join the American Legion family, whether it's the American Legion, the American Legion Auxiliary, or the Sons of the American Legion. And if you have a motorcycle, or if your spouse rides a motorcycle, you're eligible to join.
Now, are there separate chapters of the Minnesota American Legion Riders across Minnesota, or are they tied to the Legion posts? How does that all work?
Well, for the most part, they are tied to the post. Not every post has a chapter. I would like to see that someday, where every post has their own chapter. Right now we have, I believe, 75 chapters throughout the state.
So, Paul, do you work closely with the department commander, Mark Dvorak?
Yes.
Is So he's out there recruiting American Legion members all the time, and you're in his hip pocket trying to find anybody with a motorcycle to join the riders. Is that how that works?
Yep. Yep, that kind of works hand in hand. The American Legion is a great organization, and I think people should join just for that. But sometimes if I run into a veteran on a motorcycle, I will talk to them about the American Legion riders, and sometimes that's enough to get them to join the American Legion.
Well, then you're both working together to find new members. Paul, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we'll talk some more with Paul Hassing of the Minnesota American Legion Riders on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been speaking with Paul Hassing, who is currently the director of the Minnesota American Legion Riders, and he also serves active duty Army Reserve, been deployed Iraq, Afghanistan, Kuwait, a humanitarian mission over New Guinea. And we've been talking about the American Legion Riders here in Minnesota. And Paul, I wanted to talk a little more about some accomplishments. You told us that you've raised over $1 million to help with some educational funds for the Children of the Fallen. What are some of the other accomplishments of the Minnesota American Legion Riders?
Some of the things we do also are we've provided escorts. Just recently, we provided escort for the two of the 135 as they were going up to Camp Ripley before heading out to the Horn of Africa.
And we just had their commander, Lieutenant Colonel Chip Rankin, on the first half of the show, so I'm glad to hear that you gave him a good send-off. Paul, I understand you also do some work at on funerals?
Yes, we've done escorts at funerals. We've done flag lines at funerals. Earlier this year, right after COVID broke out, we provided a ride-by to the family at the family members' houses of a deceased veteran.
So, Paul, what I'm hearing here, there's some crossover between the Minnesota American Legion Riders and the Minnesota Patriot Guard, and this is a way for anyone that's eligible to be a member of the American Legion and has a motorcycle and wants to get together with some other veterans and ride, they could join the Minnesota American Legion Riders, and they could also go to some of the funerals with the Minnesota Patriot Guard.
That's correct, yes.
So if someone wanted to become a member of the American Legion, Minnesota's American Legion Riders, how do they do that?
Well, the first thing I would start with the post that's in the town that you live in, to see if they have a chapter. If they don't, and you have enough people that are interested, you could start your own chapter, or you could find the nearest post to you that has a chapter. Each post commander should be able to tell you where the nearest Legion Riders chapter is. But the more chapters, the better. So if you have enough people with interest, you could start your own chapter.
So, Paul, you're currently director of the Minnesota American Legion Riders. On a state basis, do you publish a list of events or fundraising events, those type of things, and invite your riders to show up and help?
We're doing the best we can with getting the number of rides out there. There's 75 chapters, and there's only so many weekends, but we are doing the best we can to get the different rides out on Facebook events and stuff like that. We're working on the website right now. It's been down for a little bit, but hopefully we're going to have that back up shortly.
So, Paul, you told me on the first segment that your mission is to have some fun, ride those bikes, raise some money, and give the money away. Is that what you'd tell to someone who might be thinking of joining?
That's exactly what I would tell them. It's a fun group. If you like to ride motorcycle and just have fun, if you have a little time, you work a lot, or you have a lot of time, if you're retired, it's up to you. There is no requirement that you have to give so much time. It's the more the merrier. and we have a lot of fun. We do a lot of good things.
So the best way to find some more information on that is to go to your local American Legion post, find the commander or the general manager, whomever, and ask him what they know about the Minnesota American Legion Riders. Do we have a chapter here? And if we don't, where's the nearest chapter?
That's correct. Yep.
All right, Paul, well, I love your mission. Have some fun, raise some money, and give it away. And appreciate you taking the time to talk to us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. That was Paul Hassing, the director of the Minnesota American Legion Riders on Minnesota Military Radio. Joining me now from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard is Tim Leonhardt. Tim, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, thank you, Tom.
Tim, I'm glad to hear your voice. I understand you took a little fall on your motorcycle. Everything okay?
Oh, yeah, everything's fine. You know, like I was telling everybody else, part of riding for so many years is learning how to fall.
Well, I'm glad you, glad you learned how to do that right, but don't do it again.
Yeah, it wasn't fun.
Tim, we just had a guest on the show, a gentleman named Paul Hassing from the Minnesota American Legion Riders, and he tells me that a lot of his riders are also members of the Minnesota Patriot Guard.
Yep, and vice versa. You know, it's we're all in it for the same thing, honor, dignity, and respect for our fallen heroes.
So you are you and those riders are brothers and sometimes one of the same.
Oh, yeah. Yes, we are.
Well, he indicated
there's actually a lot of groups out there that are Patriot Guard riders also, you know, even if they're part of a different group, you know, because, again, they're all wanting to do honor, dignity, and respect to our heroes.
Well, and he was telling us that they like to have some fun, raise some money, and give it away. And I know that the Minnesota Patriot Guard does some of the same things. You go to the funerals, but you also raise some funds and give it away to help military families and some other organizations. And so I understand that you're back out doing your missions.
We are. And they're coming in real good now, so we're able to go out and join the families, doing the dignity, honor, dignity, and respect to the fallen heroes.
So you were down for 3 or 4 months because of the coronavirus, but now you're back out there and doing some social distancing with 6 feet apart with the flags. And are you wearing masks on the line?
It depends on what's going on. Some do, some don't. But they're doing the social distancing. And naturally, we do social distancing when we're before this, because you never want to have a 3x5 flag slapping you in the face, so you got to stay at least 6 feet apart.
Tim, the next time I see you, we're going to have a private session on safety and safety equipment and how to keep you from hurting yourself, falling off a bike, getting slapped by a flag, or getting the coronavirus. So we're going to put you in remedial training on that one. But right now, I want to talk about the Patriot Ride. This was supposed to be the last year of the Patriot Ride, and the coronavirus kind of put the kiboshes on that, but you found a way to resurrect it, and it's coming up soon.
July 18th, and what we're doing is putting on a virtual ride. You know, basically, you put your own team together, you pick your own route, and go for a ride for honor, dignity, and respect. And if you go to the Patriot Ride.org, it'll explain everything to you and all the details, and we actually want you to send us pictures of your ride and your team and what went on, and it's going to be a good show online.
So you're still going to raise some funds, and you want everybody to pick their own destination, do their ride, take some photos, submit those online. Tim, this isn't going to take the place of hearing thousands of motorcycles start all at the same time.
It won't. But you know, there's no way for us to keep 5,000 bikes and people from being in close contact, and we don't want to, you know, have our riders or any rider put in jeopardy. So the best thing we could do.
If they can help again this year, go to thepatriotride.com. You can read all about it, sign up for it, and then go to your and then go do your ride and submit some photos.
Yeah, it'll be thepatriotride.org.
.org, I'm sorry, not .com. Yeah. Thepatriotride.org. Yeah. Should have heard you the first time, Tim. Sorry about that.
Sorry.
Well, I hope the virtual Patriot Ride turns out well and that everybody's out there and does a safe ride and they don't tip over their bikes like Tim did.
Yep. Stay away from the road snakes, guys.
There you go. Tim, we just got a few seconds left. Right. Who's eligible to join the Minnesota Patriot Guard Riders?
Anybody is eligible. You don't have to have a motorcycle. You don't have to be a veteran. All we need is you to be there for the 3x5 flag, and the ride captain on the mission will let you know what to do.
Yeah, and you've done it for years. It's a very rewarding experience to go out there and honor those veterans on their last call.
It is. It really is. And bring sunglasses, even if it's not sunny, because you'll understand why when you see the family mourning for their loved one.
All right, Tim. So anyone can join. They just have to go to your website?
Yep, mnpatriotguard.org.
And then the other thing they need to do is go to thepatriotride.org, sign up, go on a special ride, submit some photos, and win that contest.
Yep.
Tim, thanks for joining us again today.
Thank you, Tom.
That was Tim Leonhardt from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard. We have one message today. There will be an online Veterans Virtual Resources Fair on Thursday, July 16th from 1 to 3 p.m. Learn about resources, services, and benefits provided by multiple state agencies available to Minnesota's veterans, National Guard, and Reserves, transitioning service members, and their families. For more information and to register, visit MinnesotaVeteran.org. That's MinnesotaVeteran.org. We're just about out of time. If you're a Minnesota veteran and you'd like to share your story, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, click on Contact Us, send us a note. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Lieutenant Colonel Chip Rankin, Paul Hessing, Tim Leonhardt from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard, Commissioner Larry Herkey of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. Please join us next week as we talk to a doctor from the Minneapolis VA healthcare system and meet Beyond the Yellow Ribbon company Medtronic. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at Minnesota. Go to militaryradio.com.